ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam on this most auspicious, holy, sanctifying morning of Shivaratri. If you were tuned to Prashanti Mandir Live YouTube channel, you would have heard the beautiful stotrams and songs which were offered to Bhagwan this morning. And your mind cannot but go back to those beautiful, highly elevating Shivaratri mornings when you could sing the Bilvastakam, Shivastakam, Lingastakam to the very embodiment of auspiciousness sitting in front of you. That was an experience that possibly words can never ever describe. Just seeing Bhagwan on Shivaratri morning, so still, so absorbed, and radiating so much energy, so much purity, so much auspiciousness. It really felt like Kailasha. Wherever you were sitting, it was no more Cyclone Thal, it had become Kailasha. And what to talk of the evenings of Mahashivratri. The evening of 1999 left everyone spellbound. After decades of not having this ceremony of Lingodbhavam, Bhagwan shocked and stunned everyone by suddenly asking for water. As the bhajans were going on, and he started drinking lots and lots of water. He would warm water. He would say, no, this is too hot. No, this is too cold. And he would go and just keep drinking. And that's when it seemed like, oh my God, something is going to happen. And then you saw those burps. You saw how Bhagwan was struggling. You saw how there was so much pain within his being. How he was really, his body was undergoing so much to bless us with that spectacle. And that went on as the bhajans were going on with a lot of renewed vigor. Bhagwan's body was going through that churning. It was as if Bhagwan was consolidating all that goodness within him. He wanted to bring it out in a solidified form so that our eyes are sanctified, so that we know in whose presence we are in. So in 1999, I remember when Bhagwan started asking for more and more water, and the bhajans were going on, Lingodbhavam, Lingodbhavakara, Lingeshwara, and all that was going on, and then suddenly Bhagwan rose up, and you know, it's almost like something's coming out of his mouth, and in that whole process, and you, all of us were gasping, because you know, your body also was going through those convulsions, because looking at Bhagwan's body, you were so much part of that whole scene, because you know, you cannot stand to see Bhagwan like that, and as you are seeing Bhagwan body going through that, you know, your body also, you are also filled with so much of anxiety, you are also filled with so much of uncertainty, you know, your body also is not comfortable, because who will be comfortable seeing that Bhagwan is not comfortable? And but Bhagwan was going through that, and everyone was wondering what is going to happen, when it is going to happen. And memory started coming back of the Lingodvam. In those days when Lingodvam used to happen in the 70s, sometimes Swami would just do not one, Swami would do two, three. There have been years when Swami did 9 Lingams, one after another. So all those memories started flashing in those people who had seen those Lingodvam. For all of us who had not seen those Lingodvam, but we had read about that. Now Swami was asking for the water. So everyone was just waiting in anticipation. Bhajans were going on with vigor, and then Swami just got up trying as if something is coming out, and it did not. Then, you know, and Swami, then the towel was kept, and he was still trying, the body was trying to bring that beautiful spectacle out. And as everyone was now looking wide-eyed, mouth open for Bhagwan to see what is going to happen, suddenly he got up, and out emerged that linga. What a sight it was.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara.
Lingodbhava kara lingeshwara.
Partishwara. प्रभो
mind cannot but go back to those out of the world moments on Shivratris that we have seen with Bhagwan, and that lingam Bhagwan mentioned later on in the discourse is the Hiranyagarbha lingam. And Swami said, do you know that the Hiranyagarbha lingam is present in every Hridaya? It is there in every heart. It is there in the spiritual heart. Everybody has the physical heart as well as the spiritual heart. While the physical heart is on the left side of the body, the spiritual heart is on the right side. And Bhagwan said, the principle of Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyam is gold. Garbha means the receptacle of gold. That is what is the divine body. And Swami says, no, in everybody's body it is there. Bhagwan said, the principle of Hiranyagarbha permeates my whole body. Whenever I will, it assumes a form. And yes, Bhagwan did say that whoever has seen the emergence of this lingam will not have rebirth. One should be lucky to see the lingam as it emerges from the divine womb. And then Swami said, in order to sanctify your life, such sacred manifestations have to be shown. they have to be shown to you now and then, because only then you will understand the divinity that is there in this body, the divinity in humanity. In fact, Swami said, this lingam will not break even if it is dropped from a height. And Swami actually dropped it on the ground. I remember that sound, tuck, ton, that sound came at Swami. He had put it down and Swami said, this is Amritatvam. This is a symbol of immortality. It is changeless. It is oval. You cannot find a manifestation like this anywhere else in the world, Swami said. It is the manifestation of changeless divinity. And that day happened to be a Somavar, a Monday, which is endearing, very endearing to Lord Shiva, Soma Shekhara. That is the reason why Lord Shiva is extolled as Soma Shekhara, Someshwara. Swami actually said, this body was also born on Monday, Bhagwan. Advent happened on Monday. Swami said, in every Shiva temple, you will find special prayers offered to Lord Shiva on Mondays. And Bhagwan went on to explain the principle of Hiranyagarbha and said, what is Hiranyagarbha? The principle of love is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha, located on the right side of the human body, Swami said, is always right. It is immortal, it is divine, it is eternal, it is all-encompassing. And it is there not only in humans, it is there in every being. Ishvara sarva bhutanam, isa avasyam idam jagat. Swami said, divine love originates from Hiranyagarbha. And how does this love operate? Swami said, this divine love lives by giving and forgiving. And this love is essential for man, Swami said. Such divine love is essential for man. And Bhagwan went on to give a beautiful example from the Ramayana. Swami says, after Ravana was killed in the battle, Hanuman went to Sita and conveyed to her the good news. And Sita was overjoyed. And she started extolling Hanuman. Oh Hanuman, you are the most valiant one. Puravara Shaurya, you are the most powerful one who entered Lanka in the face of so many dangers. You are Bhadra Parakrama, you are the one who performs fantastic acts of valor. You cross the ocean in a single leap. You are Kapi Raja Shikhamani. You are the crown jewel of the monkey clan who fulfilled the command of Rama so magnificently. So Sita went on praising Hanuman in this manner. Oh Hanuman, I have not seen a virtuous one like you. There is none equal to you in terms of physical strength. You are Gunavanta, you are Balavanta. And as Sita was showering Hanuman with all these titles, somehow Hanuman didn't look very pleased. And Sita was a little puzzled, and finally Sita looked at Hanuman and said, Hanuman, I bless you that may Rama love you forever and install himself in your heart. And when Sita gave this blessing, then Hanuman started leaping in joy. Hanuman leapt in ecstasy when he heard this blessing of Mother Sita. What is the use of all these titles, O Mother? Hanuman was trying to convey. Gunavanta, Balavanta, Kapiraja Shikhamani, Bhadra Parakrama. What is the use of all this if I don't have love for Rama in my heart? O Mother, there is nothing greater than Rama's love in this world. I don't crave any title. I only pray for Rama's love. In the absence of the love of Lord Rama, I would not be happy even if the whole world were to come under my control. My life will find fulfillment only when I am the recipient of His love. And Bhagwan said, this is how a sincere devotee should be. He should yearn for God's love. And for that devotee, God's love is everything. And that is what is the most beautiful quality of every human being, every devotee, to speak with love, act with love. And Bhagwan said, on this day of Shivaratri, legend has it that Shiva, in order to save the world, swallowed halahala poison. We know how the angels and demons, the devas and asuras, churned the ocean. Vasuki became the churning rope. Vasuki, the divine serpent, and Mainak, the mountain, became the churning rod. And how the angels, the devas and the asuras started churning the oceans. And how, as that process went on, they were unable to proceed because the mountain was slipping away. And suddenly they saw that it had become stable. How did it become stable? Because the Lord Himself took the avatar as Kurma, Kurma avatar, as a giant tortoise, and He allowed the mountain to rest on His back. He provided that stability. All that churning that happens in our heart, between our good forces and negative forces, between the forces that take us towards God and those forces that take us away from God, they will be always in haywire unless we have as the basis the divine. That churning between asuras and devas could not proceed. Churning is inevitable. Only when churning happens, then amrita comes out. The churning was for that pot of amrita, for that pot of nectar. The nectar of life emerges only when the churning happens in the heart between the good and the bad. But for that churning to happen, the basis should be the divine. We should pray to the divine that even as the churning happens in our heart, O Lord, You please come and be that basis. Provide that support. I can go through that churning. I know a lot of things will come out of that churning. So many beautiful things will come. So many obnoxious things will come out. Just like it happened when the churning of the oceans happened. Airavat came, the divine horse came out, the divine elephant came out, precious gems came out, Kamadhenu came out. Even as so many good things came out, there were also so many poisonous things that came out. When the churning happens, everything good, bad, ugly comes out. And that is when we know how the entire poison of the world concentrated and it emerged. And now when the good things were coming out, different people were taking it. Everybody wanted to possess those good things, but who will handle this poison? Nobody wants to take the poison, be it the devas or the asuras. Nobody wants. And so what happens now if nobody takes the poison? That poison will destroy everyone. And again, to save the world, for the sake of devas, for the sake of asuras, we know how Lord Shiva took that poison. So as that churning happens in our hearts, we need Lord as the basis. And when things come out which we cannot handle, which things which can destroy us, that is when we know who can rescue us. Only Shiva can rescue us. Only the divine can rescue us. Because only that Shiva can handle that poison. We cannot handle that poison. It will destroy us. And we know how Shiva partook that poison And Mother Parvati came and held Shiva's neck so that the poison does not go down his neck. And that is how Shiva became Neelakantha, the blue-throated one, the beautiful blue-throated Lord Shiva. The Lord looks beautiful because he has taken upon himself the pains of the world. That is the true beauty of life, isn't it? If we can take upon ourselves the troubles, not of the world, but at least of one or two people, if we can, in our heart, handle the pain of someone who is going through a lot. That is what Bhagwan did when he came in a human form. If you see Bhagwan's life, to me it was just this saga of taking upon himself the pain. When the Lord comes down in a human form, it is not just the throat, the whole body is actually blue, because the whole life of the avatar is only to give joy to others and take upon oneself others' pain. Every day as he came out for darshan, there were always millions, thousands, Swami, do this for me, Swami, my son is not well, my daughter is not getting married, my husband needs a new job. It goes on and on and on, and Bhagwan just listens, listens, listens. Hardly anyone who will ask, Swami, how are you today? Are you fine? And that is what the avatar is all about. I remember there were so many such occasions when one did not realize the immensity of the presence that one was in. Because he was walking like us, talking like us, eating with us. Once, when Bhagwan was in Trai Vrindavan, Swami had allowed a couple of students to do seva inside Trai. It was the holiday time. And all these boys were so happy. It was a lifetime opportunity for them. You don't know whether you will get this chance again. So one such day when they were waiting for Bhagwan inside Trai, after doing seva, Bhagwan came down from his room and he sat on the jhula, on the swing. And there was this boy who was seeing Swami for the first time sitting on the jhula alone with none of the students around, none of the boys sitting around him. It was just Swami sitting there and there were just a few students there. And this boy was just looking at Bhagwan. He was lost looking at Bhagwan sitting in the chula, swinging in the chula. And he took that opportunity to go near and massage Bhagwan's tender and soft feet. And that was a chance you always wanted to grab if Bhagwan does not object. And then Bhagwan started talking to these students. He asked them what seva they were doing. And even as this conversation was going on, suddenly Swami said, "Do you know? Do you know that I am Shiva Shakti Swarupa? And the boy was massaging Bhagwan's feet. He just stopped. He did not know what to say. Sometimes Bhagwan makes these revelations in such a nonchalant manner, you get completely nonplussed. The boy looked at Swami with blank eyes. Swami said, "Look at my feet. You will find that one feet is like a woman and the other one is like a man." And all the 2-3 boys who were there, they looked at Bhagwan's feet. And then Swami said, "See, I have this mark on my chest." And Swami showed his chest to the students. And the boys just folded their hands in utter supplication. They did not know what to say when you are suddenly in the presence of the cosmic person whom you took to be like another human body because he was walking, talking, being with you. And Swami saw how everyone suddenly had become so serious. And everybody now felt so nervous to even touch Swami and, you know, massage Swami's feet. It was not the fear of God, but just that fear of not realizing that you are actually in the presence of God Himself. And the boys did not know how to now treat that human form. And Swami saw that, you know, everyone is so clueless. And Swami just said, "You take namaskar." He allowed them to touch his feet and leave, asked the boys to leave. There are a few moments like this when Bhagwan made those revelations of who he was. Bhagwan says, "This body is Parvati, this Atma is Shiva. Shiva Shakti is, every body is Shiva Shakti. And the Shiva principle is the unity of Prakriti and Purusha. And that is what is Satya Sai. It is Shiva Shakti, Prakriti and Purusha." And what did Shiva Shakti do? Shiva and Shakti together ensured that the poison of the world is out of the reach of everyone, and all are protected and it is safe, and they took it upon themselves. Shakti holding the neck of Shiva and Shiva keeping all that poison within himself so that everyone else can live with no fear. And I think this is one of the greatest symbolic legends that we have to tell us what God truly is. Swami so many times used to say, "There is no trace of selfishness in me. Everything that I do, top to toe, it is selfless, selfless, selfless." Bhagwan would give many opportunities to the students to serve. And we know how Bhagwan in those days used to give sevadals and other devotees patamaskaram, and every time one batch of sevadal finished serving, Swami would go and give them the chance to touch his feet. And in those days, everyone had this opportunity to touch his feet. And sometimes it happened that people, in their enthusiasm, they would fall on their feet. They would scratch their feet. They would unknowingly. Sometimes people have nails and they would damage Bhagwan's feet, because people come from all over the world, all kinds of people, and they would do that. And on one occasion, when the boys were with Bhagwan, they saw that there is scratch on Swami's feet. And Swami said, what to do? Someone had nail, you know, they had not cut their nails. And so, but the student said, but Swami, it's not a simple wound. You know, it had happened some time ago. And because there is an open wound, and Swami had not bothered, as usual, he would never bother about his own comfort or his own pain. And that whole thing, there was pus and it had sort of become septic. And the boy said, Swami, you have to do something. Swami, you cannot leave it like this. Swami said, no, don't bother. And the boys called the doctor, Dr. Alreja, who was a very, very respected, and he was almost a saintly person. And Dr. Alreja said, Swami, you have to do this, Swami. This is, the body has to be taken care of. We have to operate on it. Swami said, no, you're not doing anything. Alreja said, please, Swami, we have to. Finally, Swami agreed. Swami said, you don't give me any injection. And so Dr. Alreja came and he was trying to clean the wound, and, you know, and then he wanted to put a bandage. And when he was about to put the bandage, no. Swami said, no, you're not going to put a bandage. No, Swami, we cannot do this. The wound will not heal. We have cleaned it, but for it to heal, you have to put the bandage. I said, no, you're not going to put the bandage. What will devotees, when the devotees see that there is a bandage, it will give them so much pain. Why hurt the devotees? Why let them know? I said, you're not going to put the bandage. I think this is what Bhagwan was. He would never let us know what is going on with himself. Even when he has a wound and he's finding difficulty to walk, he will still go, still listen, still take your letter, still pat your cheeks and still give you vibhuti, still go around. Because he's here to only teach us that we are not here for ourselves. How many distribution sprees we have seen. Whenever there is any festival, white shirts, pants, saris, sewing machines, wheelchairs, ropes, pens, pencils, perfumes, calculators, the list goes on. And especially when there was an event, Swami would just be distributing and distributing. On one occasion, when Bhagwan was on such a distribution spree, there was one boy who was standing behind Bhagwan and he was handing over these gifts to Swami to distribute. And he definitely had a lot of running that day to do, because he had to go to the garage, give this stuff, you know, and be in time and stand behind Swami, give the gift to Swami. So it was definitely a lot of physical work. He remembers during 70th birthday, as usual, when Swami wanted to give so many people, so many gifts, every day during darshan, there was only distribution for hours. So one of these days, after Bhagwan had spent nearly 3 hours walking back and forth in the cycle with hall, distributing, he allowed the students to take Padmaskaram, and after it was done, Swami went inside the interview room. And there's one boy who had this opportunity to follow him inside the interview room. And this boy who was, for 3 hours, he was doing this distribution. He was really physically tired. So it was nice for him to finally get a chance to sit down. And he was sitting down in front of Bhagwan. The last 3 hours, he was running around. So he was so happy. He sat there. And as he sat, just then it crossed his mind, oh my God, I am so young and I am so tired. How tired Bhagwan must be. He has also been running around for the last 3 hours. He didn't take a break during the distribution. He thought it's good. Now Swami also will be able to take some rest. And as they entered the interview room, Bhagwan sat on his chair. Swami asked his boy to close the door. And this boy thought, now I will get the chance to sit down and if maybe a chance to massage his feet. And he thought, you know, Swami will be so tired now. As Bhagwan sat on the chair, he saw that Bhagwan's face was radiating with joy. He was beaming with joy. There was no tiredness on his face. He was sweating and he was perspiring, but Swami was nice, Swami was fresh, Swami was so happy. Not an iota of tiredness on his face. And Swami said, I am so happy now. I get so much joy when I give things. I get so much joy when I give. And the boy said, oh my God. This is what our life should be. When you give things with so much love, that love energizes you so much that you are more fresh even after 3 hours of tiresome work. During the Paduka Puja festival, which happened in September 1997, hundreds of devotees who had participated in that festival, they had offered so many gifts to Bhagwan. And Swami asked for some students to come inside the auditorium, the Poornachandra auditorium, to sort them out. One boy who was lucky to be part of that group, he went in and they spent nearly 4 good hours sorting out hundreds of gifts, which included perfumes and fruits and dry fruits and flowers and things like that. So once the boys finished their job, Bhagwan came inside the auditorium to inspect. And Bhagwan saw all this perfume. Swami lovingly asked the boys to bring a tray. Then he asked all the students to stand in a line and he distributed all those perfumes to all the students one by one. And we have seen that any number of occasions, if Bhagwan asked you to do anything, he would fill you with so much that you will feel, Swami, we have not done even 0.001%. Why are you multiplying that a million times and giving us? I remember once when Dasara was over and Swami asked the boys who had not gone home during the vacation, who had stayed back just to be with Swami. Swami had called those boys to the Poornachandra auditorium and you had this chance to make vibhuti packets and kumkum packets. The vibhuti and kumkum that were offered, the sanctified vibhuti and kumkum of the Dasara festival. And as the boys would start this packet making, we would have worked just for 10-15 minutes and it would be in the afternoon. Swami, I don't know if he rests anytime. Swami suddenly would come out and Swami, oh my God, you guys are working, Papam, you have been spending so much time, you have come in the hot sun and now you're sitting and you're working. And then Swami would start distributing. Swami would give some fruit, Swami would get some chocolate, Swami would get some bananas, and then after fruits, then it will become sweets, and then it will become gadgets, then camera rolls, then perfumes. It will just start one after another. Bhagwan, he cannot see somebody working, and if he sees someone working, he has to just pour that person with gifts. And why does he do it? Because that is what he is. Love is selflessness. When Bhagwan said, my life is my message, Bhagwan told us, he is Neelakantha. Yes, he has taken upon the pain, but he's so happy. He is beautiful as Neelakantha, and he wants us also to be beautiful by being able to take the pain of others. In fact, when Bhagwan was executing many mammoth social welfare projects, Swami would say, there is nothing that is not possible. If you have purity in you, everything is possible. When the water project was going on, Swami did not go anywhere during the summer vacation, and Swami would, even though it was very hot in Puttaparthi, Swami stayed, and Swami's room has no AC, Swami's interview room has no AC, And Puttaparthi gets very hot in the April, May months, but Swami continued to stay here and he was there every day tracking the progress of the water project. Almost every day after darshan, he would call the trust members and other people involved with the project and spend hours with them, asking about how the project is going on. And one such day, after meeting with the trust members, Swami had called some of the students inside the interview room. And the boys were so happy, finally Swami had called them. And as they were inside the interview room, Bhagwan sat in his chair. And Swami looked seemingly to be in a very pensive mood. And Swami did not speak for several minutes. And one boy, he had this chance to sit next to Bhagwan's chair and massage his soft legs. There was absolute silence. One could hear the voice of the sparrows outside in the Mandir portico. And then suddenly Swami opened his eyes and Swami said, "You know, I have mortgaged all properties to the bank for financing the water project. I've given away the Mandir, the airport, the college, whatever land, everything has been given. I don't want these properties. My students are my property," Swami said. And the boy had tears in his eyes when Bhagwan started saying this. And Swami said, "See, I have mortgaged the Mandir also." And the boys did not know how to react. And somebody said, one of the boys said, "Swami, please, don't give away the Mandir, Swami, please." Swami said, "No, no. You are my property. The students are my property." And then Bhagwan said, "If I want, I can change the whole room, this whole room. I can make it, change it into gold bars in an instant. I can change this whole room to become a room of gold bars. But I will not do it. Because that is not the right way of doing. My life is my message. I want to show all of you how to do seva." So whatever Bhagwan did, Bhagwan said, "How you too can exercise the power of selfless love and do wonders. You can do miracles." And that is what is the glory of Nilakantha Sai. If only we can constantly know that Hiranyagarbha, that gold that Bhagwan brought out on every Shivratri, as Swami says, is there within us, and we have the power to unleash that brilliance in our lives by learning to lead a life that He led. It would make our lives worth it. It would make our journey the most beautiful one. Many years ago, for reasons best known to Swami, Swami suddenly stopped giving Trai sessions to the students in Vrindavan. In fact, Bhagwan had come after many days to Vrindavan, the Bengaluru ashram, and the students there had this opportunity to sit around Swami in his residence, Trai Vrindavan, and these sessions were called Trai sessions. And Bhagwan would give this opportunity to students every day after the evening bhajans, and there would be a rush, mad rush by students to go and sit in the front and get this physical proximity. On one occasion, Swami had just come to Vrindavan, but Swami did not call the boys for thrice sessions for a few days. First day, second day, third day. It was very unusual. Generally, Bhagwan would definitely call. And all the students started craving for that chance, because every day lost is a lost chance and you cannot get it again, and anything else in the world can be got back, but that moment with the divine, if you have lost it, you have lost it forever. And no amount of wealth, nothing in the world can match it. Nothing can get it back for you. So the boy started praying and pining, and after few days, suddenly Swami called all the students. So boys rushed inside and they sat around the jhula, that swing. And Bhagwan was very calm. Swami came, he sat on the jhula and he seemed to me a very solemn mood. He did not speak anything. After a few minutes of silence, Swami asked one question to the boys who were sitting in the front. They could hear clearly. Swami said, "Do you know why Swami did not call you all into the Trayi for a few days? Do you know why I did not call you for all these days?" And the boys did not know what to say. Everybody wanted to know. Everybody was praying, everybody was hoping Swami would call. Nobody had any clue what was wrong, why was Swami not calling. And Swami himself answered, and he said, "Slowly, slowly, Swami is teaching you to look for Swami within. Swami is teaching you to look for Him within." This happened way back in 1993. Right from that time, Bhagwan was giving these indications, preparing everyone for what is to come, to know that Swami is within. In fact, as Bhagwan said that, you know, hearts froze. At that point in time, you couldn't really fathom what he was saying in his overpowering presence of his physical form. And then suddenly this revelation, you don't know what to make of it. He is that Antaranga Sai. He is that Neelakanta Sai. Same 1994, during the Dasara holidays, there was this student who had joined Bhagwan's college in June 1994. Swami had returned to Puttaparthi after a long stay in Vrindavan. Once Bhagwan returned to Puttaparthi, the whole place was electrified by Bhagwan's presence, and devotees started making a beehive in Puttaparthi to get his darshan. Swami's darshan in Vrindavan, in Kodaikanal, and Puttaparthi all are very different and very unique experiences. And it was the time when many students had gone home to be with their parents. Students from far off distances and abroad preferred to stay back in the hostel. And there are some students who never wanted to go back. They didn't want to miss a single darshan. And some of the boys who had stayed back, they had this biggest bonus to have more darshan. And these boys tried to make most of this opportunity to get Bhagwan's attention. Now that they are not going home and they are less boys, they want to see if they can get a chance with Bhagwan. And students being students, you always keep thinking about what to do to get his attention. And so the students who were in the hostel, they started working out different ideas to get Bhagwan's eye. So there's one boy who had not gone home. But for some weird reason, even though he had decided not to go home, suddenly he had this urge to go to Chennai. Suddenly he had this feeling, no, maybe I should go and spend some time with my family, with my parents, with my friends. Maybe he felt so many of his friends have gone home, or God knows what went on in his heart. But he did not want to go without telling Swami. And how to tell Swami? How to get Swami's permission? Should I just stand up during darshan time and Swami comes near me and tell him that, Swami, I want to go to Chennai for a few days. Should I give him a letter asking for his permission? In one corner of his heart, he wanted to go to Chennai. And on the other hand, there's also this feeling that, no, why should I go back? Let me just stay back. Let me be with Swami. I'm getting this chance. But sometimes, you know, at that age, you don't know how desires and how your mind plays games with you. And he kept thinking for a couple of days. And then he thought, okay, how to ask Swami for permission? So he thought, okay, this is what I will say to Swami. And if Swami says this, then I will say this. So he rehearsed these dialogues. And he thought it won't be a good thing to tell Swami, Swami, I want to go back and give me permission to go. He was thinking of some excuse, some alibi. And he had thought of some strategies, so to speak. Now, 5 more days were only left for college to reopen. And one fine morning, he gathered all his courage to request Swami for permission. Swami came out at 6:45 a.m. that day. As usual, the moment Swami stepped out of his residence, there was this soft instrumental music in those days which used to be played. And he managed to sit in the front row right before the interview room. Swami finished his darshan rounds and he walked through the ladies and the gents' side and slowly came to the portico. And all this while, this boy was rehearsing what he had planned to tell Swami if Swami asks him. And continuously thinking about this, and he had closed his eyes, he didn't even realize when Swami had come. And finally, when he saw Swami was closer, you know, his heart started pumping faster because you don't know how Swami will react. Suddenly, if Swami says no, Bhagwan came closer, and as Swami walked past him, Swami had called a few devotees for interview and he was disappointed. Swami did not look at him. Swami did not give him a chance to speak. Swami just went inside the interview room and he thought, why can't Swami just look at me and ask something? Why can't he give me a little inviting look? I can get up and ask for permission. Anyway, Swami is omnipresent. Why doesn't he talk to me? You know, I had all these questions in a teenager mind. And he was constantly thinking what to say, how to say. And once Bhagwan went to the interview room, the place became quiet. That just how it used to be, the boys, everybody goes. The office girls go to the work and the mandir becomes very quiet after the darshan. But this boy decided not to leave his place, not to step out and just wait, continue to pray to Swami. Somehow if Swami comes out of the interview room, I should be there to ask him permission. So again he did his homework, again rehearsed those dialogues and thought about different things. If Swami asks this, what will I say? If Swami asks that, what will I say? After 45 minutes, Bhagwan's interview room door opened and the devotees who had gone in for the interview came out one by one. Their faces were lit up with bliss. Once that last person stepped out of the room, now Bhagwan slowly peeked out through the door and Swami looked at this boy and Swami called this boy. And that's it. This boy jumped and he went to Bhagwan, to the interview room door, and he didn't want to miss this chance. And so Bhagwan called him inside. His moment of truth had arrived. And Swami closed the interview room door. And then Swami looked at him And the boy knelt down and he was waiting for Bhagwan to say something. He had all those rehearsals that he had made about what could be the possible question and answer session with Swami. All that, suddenly he felt that everything has gone blank. He does not remember anything that he had rehearsed. And even before he could open his mouth, Swami said, "Hey, look here. Are you planning to go to Chennai on the pretext of repairing your violin?" He was a violin player. "Is it not what you wanted to ask me?" So basically he had the strategy of telling Swami, "I want to go to Chennai because, you know, I have to repair this violin and this will take some time," and this and that. He had thought of different ways, different reasons to give to Swami. And Swami straight asked him, "So you want to go to Chennai with this reason that you have to repair your violin, is it?" And the boy did not know. He was stumped. He did not know what to say. Swami said, "You're not going anywhere. Go and sit down. Don't mix with bad company. I know everything. I can read your mind," Swami said. "Go and sit down. Take Pad Namaskaran. You thought I will not know what is your true intention?" So this boy, like a mouse, he came out of the interview room, took Swami's blessings and went back to his seat in the portico. What can you hide from the one who is your antaryami, who is there in the heart? As Swami had said, slowly and slowly ensure to feel me within. That's what Swami had told. Swami is teaching you to feel Swami within and to give that experience, to let people know how palpable such a moment can be and how to live in this moment, live in this feeling, live in this thought. Bhagwan gave such experiences. And of course, it has been such a life-transforming moment for this boy and so many devotees and students who have experienced this. And whatever the Lord does, as I said, it is only so that we become better. He will handle all the churning that is going on in our heart. He will be that support, that churning that was going on in this heart. This boy's heart also happened because he was the support. And he knew that what is coming out, some bad thoughts are coming out, some bad strategies are coming out, and that is not good. So Bhagwan absorbed that and said, "No, he is here to only give us good. He is here to only fill us with auspiciousness. He is here to only make our lives beautiful. Make our lives a saga of serenity." On this beautiful day of Shivaratri, let us feel him within. Soham, Shivoham. Once we feel him within, just that thought will sanctify us and our lives will become lives that are like the saga that Neelakantha Sai led. The saga where love all the time pours forth as selflessness. And you are beautiful because you have learned to make others' lives beautiful. You are beautifully blue because every day you are new. Your desires are few and you are here only to add that new hue of joy in others' lives. Let this be our Shivratri offering to Bhagwan. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for giving me this opportunity to share these few thoughts. It was beautiful contemplating on Bhagwan as Antaranga Sai, as Neelakantha Sai. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. With gratitude and love. offering this little endeavor at his lotus feet. I take your leave, wishing all of you a happy, holy, sanctifying, elevating Shivaratri. Thank you so much, Sairam.